Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and the Inside Analog Photography radio program is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. You know, the Instax instant cameras and film are in the country. This is the coolest, funnest way to shoot large format instant photography. This is great stuff. You can check it out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Also, our friends here at Inside Analog Photo, Richard Photo Lab at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at dr5.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios, the place to have all of your film scanned for your digital hybrid workflow. Definitely cool stuff. Aztec Premier Drum Scanner. You will not find a better scan anywhere on this planet. You can check them out over at www.igerstudios. That's E-I-G-E-R-S-T-U-D-I-O-S, igerstudios.com. Great stuff going on with Lenny and the guys over at Iger. Good stuff. Our media partners at the Analog Photography User Group over at www.apug.org, the place on the web for all things analog photographic process. And of course, Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. We got a great show today. We're going to be with Brian Johnson. Brian is a professional wedding and portrait photographer, an all-around great guy. We're going to talk to him about his photography, his use of film, and how he's using analog capture and output in his business. Brian, how you doing today?
It's going great, Scott. Just in the middle of a really busy wedding season and shooting a lot right now, but things are going well.
This is very cool. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to speak with you today. And Brian, why don't you give our listeners a little background on yourself, your studio. You guys have a great gig going there in Birmingham, Alabama. Of course, you do analog capture. I think you do a lot of stuff. So let's talk about what you're doing right now with your current business, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. I actually went to Samford University, graduated in 2002, and I was, interestingly enough, a business major, which people find funny. They always ask me if I was a photography major. We actually had, like, one photography class at my school. So I majored in business because I thought I was going to go into selling insurance with my father, and luckily that didn't work out because a local magazine hired me out of school based on some work I had done for the newspaper at school. And for the first year and a half of my working career, I was able just to learn all kinds of different editorial and lifestyle shoots with products. So that really kind of got me off the ground. And after a year and a half, I went out on my own, and all my friends were starting to get married. And it kind of snowballed, and I started getting clients pretty quickly.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your baseline in photography. Now, you only had one class in college. Did you do photography before that? Did you do it in high school? When did you get started in photography?
When I was in high school, my grandfather had a Minolta, just basic manual 35mm camera with a 50mm lens that he shot with, and he eventually gave it to me. And so I took that and started shooting for the yearbook, then started shooting for my college newspaper, and then was an editor for a magazine in college, and from there just was kind of self-taught. And then once I graduated, I have been to Santa Fe a couple times and took some workshops there. I've slowly just learned from different photographers and learned from my own mistakes, in a sense, and was all digital at one point and have slowly moved more and more back into film. And the more and more I shoot, the less digital I've been shooting. So that's essentially how I got started.
So let's talk about that, your transition from digital to analog. I mean, of course, like you said, you started off with analog, but tell me why you guys are moving away from digital.
Well, for one, I personally love spontaneity. I love the mystery of film. I love the fact that I don't necessarily know exactly what I'm getting. I found that I was engaging more with my camera than I was with my subject when I was shooting digital, so that my interaction was 2 feet from my face instead of from me to the subject. There's that, and learning to trust your camera and rely more on the interaction between you and your client and your subject. So that aspect as well. I'm not much of one for actions. I don't put actions on my images. And I really love a straightforward, natural look for my images. And so shooting film just really fit. I obviously started out shooting slide film out of school when I was shooting for the magazine. Post magazine, I kind of got more and more into digital and was shooting all my weddings in digital and spending way too much time on the computer editing and just wasn't even really connecting with my images as much anymore. And so finding Richard Photo Lab, which is who I send all my film to, really changed everything because I also didn't have a great lab in the South. And so now with FedEx, you can obviously send stuff anywhere. And so by being able to send stuff to Richard, it's really kind of opened up my whole side of creativity that I wasn't really tapping into about 2 years ago. because I can shoot any format. I shoot a lot of RZ67. Rolleiflex is probably my main camera, but RZ, Rolleiflex, and Lomo are kind of my main cameras on a wedding day. And so by having a great lab and being able to shoot film, I just love having my bag of tricks on a wedding day or going to a shoot, and it really makes it more fun for me. And if I'm having fun, the images are going to be fun. If I'm bored out of my mind, it's going to show through the images. So that's one thing I like. I'm talking to a photographer about shooting film. To me, it's really what's the medium that you engage with the most. If you really, really are engaged with digital, then shoot digital. But for me, like, I just really lock in to shooting with film and all the possibilities that it brings. So
let's talk about the lab. Let's talk about what pushed you over the edge with using Richard. And it could be any lab, but you're using Richard. So tell me what they did that helped convince you guys to go more the analog way and ditch the digital stuff.
Well, the relationship that's so key for me with a lab is the thing that's so great about Richard is they care more than I care. Bill Pine gets more upset if my film is a little underexposed than I get, which in the past at my local Birmingham labs, every time I walked into the lab, I felt like the guys behind their counter is rolling their eyes because I'm the guy who's going to be a pain in their butt for the next week because I'm going to make them rescan stuff and stuff's going to just look bad. Then they're not going to own it and take responsibility. By having someone who cares so much like Richard, it honestly, like I said, I was only shooting 35 millimeter if I was shooting anything at weddings. And because of their capabilities, like by being able to pretty much scan anything from 35 to large format, it really encouraged me just to say whatever camera I want to get, they're going to be able to scan the film for it. So it's kind of ridiculous. We literally take 10 cameras with us to each wedding. We call it our bag of tricks, our toy bag. So we just have a lot of different things that we play around with. So like I said, it's so nice to know that you have someone in your corner who is making sure on the scan side that everything is looking right so that you can really just have fun. Because if you didn't have a good lab like Richard Photo Lab, I could totally see why film would just die out. I just did a workshop a couple weeks ago, and it was just awesome because Bill flew out from L.A., and was literally able to say, look, just start by shooting a few rolls and FedEx it to them, and in 2 weeks you'll have images up on your FTP that you can add to your digital shots and slowly start to play around more. I had a girl call me recently and said, I feel like my heartbeat's coming back now that I've got back in the film. So that's the stuff that's really encouraging, and it's nice to know that film, the barrier isn't as high as people think it is, that it's easier to get into when you have a great lab who's going to take care of all the details where all you have to do is shoot and FedEx it to them and your job is done.
So you've already considered then your biggest asset with using a good quality lab like Richard is the scans that you're going to get back. Maybe not so much the development, or is it really the scanning process that push it over the edge for what lab that you want to use?
For me, our workflow has to be a digital workflow. So it is so important that we have things scanned in. We don't really get contact sheets. With where things are headed in this age, it's so nice to have everything digitized. So the scans are so important. And it takes a lot of time. Like with Richard, it took a lot of time of them really figuring out our look to say, this is how you like our scans. And it's a constant dialogue kind of back and forth with them. So once you find someone who can do great scans, it's so vital because of how much we use our images for blog, for on our website, for putting into albums, and also we still shoot digital, so we've matched the entire day up as a storyline, so we have to drop all the images in the film with the digital. So it's just really nice to have great scans, and it's actually just very vital to our workflow in order to have everything in a digital format. So the scan is really important for us.
So let's talk about, besides the scan, why are you using analog? Is it the aesthetic of the film? What pushed you back to film? Now, of course, I know you're not chimping now. You're interacting with your client. You get to use different kinds of gear that you can have different looks and so forth from. So yes, there's lots of reasons for that. But what was it with the aesthetics of the capture medium over the digital?
I think it's several things. I took a workshop with John Dolan and Holger Thoss this summer up in New York, who are two of my personal icons and idols, people that I really follow their work and kind of cherish the way that they shoot and approach a day. So one point that they made, part of their workshop was walking the class through an entire history of wedding photography. And they started with back in the early 1900s when they're shooting on these large format plate negatives. and it's just these ridiculously large formats, and the photographers were not just photographers, they were like scientists and chemists and all the knowledge that went into being a photographer. And they talked about how, as the formats got easier, capturing images has gotten more sloppy and less interesting. And so they were able to kind of show the progression of images through the years and how, with each phase, when it went from large format to medium format to 35 to point-and-click 35 to digital point-and-shoot, as it's gotten easier and easier, the medium has almost defaced itself more and more. So in one sense, it's taking it back a step. I'm not shooting large format or anything, but in a sense, by making things a little bit harder, makes you a little bit more conscious. I don't know if that makes sense, but it forces you to take time to really think, and I think it's made me a better photographer because every click is actually about a dollar for each click that I make. So I have to be very, very conscious with how I'm shooting and what I'm shooting. As far as the actual look, like I said, our scans don't need much color correct anymore because we're able to nail the look. Like I said, we don't use many filters, so I really like that straightforward, natural, romantic look. And film just has an X factor to it. There's the sense, and you don't know what you're going to get. And when you're shooting things like a Holga or a Lomo, even Rolly at times, there's just this sense of mystery. So you're going to get something, and it's really weird. But when you see an amazing medium format or Lomo shot, it cannot be duplicated with a filter. And some people think that, oh, I'll just shoot digital, and I'll apply a Lomo filter to my photo to make it look like Lomo. Well, it's not necessarily true, because shooting Lomo is a completely different mindset and a completely different approach to even how you take the image. So you approach the images different. You have to think a little bit harder, and ultimately I just love the look all the more.
So let's talk about look. What do you like to use as a capture medium? What is your choice of film?
My choice of film is Kodak. I shoot Kodak NC 160 and 400. I shoot Kodak for black and white. I shoot Kodak 400CN, which is actually the C41 film. It's not true black and white. I mainly shoot that because that was a dialogue between me and Richard Photolab. They love the way that scans, and so I've been really, really happy with it. So I shoot that 400. I also shoot 3200, either Ilford or T-Max. I shoot it around 1600 and push it a stop, and it just has a really great saturated look to it. So those are my films of choice.
Now, you've always shot Kodak. Is there a reason that you shoot Kodak over something else? Let's chat about that, because I know a lot of people that use Richard shoot other brands. Some people love the Kodak. It's a beautiful, beautiful emulsion. What's your thoughts on using the 160 and the 400NC over other types of film that's out there?
Yeah, I love Kodak because it's a little warmer. I love a lot of the stuff that these guys are getting on the Fujifilm, but for me personally, I just love the natural look that I get with the NC, and it, like I said, it's very warm. So it's just really what works with me. For some reason, Kodak just clicks for me, and that's what I really, really enjoy.
No, I think you're right. I think the Kodak stuff has more magenta in it. It's definitely warmer and has beautiful skin tones.
Yeah, for sure. So it's funny because when I go to WPPI, everyone's shooting Fuji, and I'm one of the only ones that I know of that's shooting the Kodak stuff, but I really, really dig it.
So let's talk about your exposures when you're shooting 160NC and 400. What are you shooting them at?
I meter everything, so I have a handheld meter. I meter everything. If it's 160, I'm metering it at 100. And if it's 400, I'm metering it at 320. And just like it a little bit overexposed. Anything that I find that I meter at 400 or 160, it comes with a bit of a brown cast over it. And just by overexposing it a bit, just really pops all the colors all the more. So I really just like overexposing it just a touch.
So what are you using meter-wise?
I use a Minolta something.
And you're using a spot or a reflector? Are you using a dome up against your subject? Or
a dome
spot?
Up against my subject, essentially.
And you're typically exposing for skin tone, for a shadow, for the face?
For skin tone, yeah, exactly. I don't know, like the film photographers you talk to, are they metering or are they metering in camera?
I think a lot of people meter in camera. I think anybody that, unless they really trust their camera that much, I tend to find that it's better to meter with a meter.
Yeah.
And always expose for the shadows, and everything usually works.
Yeah. Like I said, I shoot with that Mamiya RZ67, which is a tank of a camera, but it also doesn't have a meter in it, so I'm forced to meter, and I don't really trust my Rolly meter as well. So.
No, well, those old meters anyway, I mean, you can line up the lever with the circle, but come on, I mean, you're better off using a good meter.
Right, exactly.
So I think you're better off using a meter, and there's a lot of guys, you won't catch them without a meter around their neck, and some guys are like, I don't want to deal with it. I mean, I don't think you shoot very much 35 unless it's in the Lomo.
Exactly. I shoot some black and white. I don't really like to shoot 35 millimeter color that much. but I have a 35mm Canon 1V or something like that that I normally have a 35mm lens on that I'm shooting stuff with, kind of just with black and white.
Yeah, the 1V works great, and the meter in the 1V is pretty good. But I still find, though, with a really good meter, it's just a little better.
It's funny, I rarely even use the meter in that 1V. I end up metering with a handheld, even with that one. So,
do you find that when you were shooting chrome in the old Minolta for the high school stuff you were working on, it made you a better photographer when it came to what you're doing now and metering and knowing what to expose for?
Yeah, it's interesting. Post-college at the magazine I was working for, I was shooting chrome there. But it's interesting because there's such less give in slide film that it was so great to move to negative film. I mean, even though I'm metering and trying to be pretty precise on my stuff, especially shooting black and white, it's so nice because even if for whatever reason I mess up my meter and I'm one or two stops under overexposed, normally Richard can pull the images out and salvage my mistake. So with slide film, that was not the case. So it obviously forced you to be a bit more accurate.
So tell me, have you ever shot a wedding all in chrome?
No way.
No?
I don't shoot any chrome at a wedding. Do you know people that do shoot chrome at weddings?
I've shot weddings in chrome, the whole thing.
What did you give the client?
Well, I just gave them back digital. They wanted just scans and prints.
So
once it's stuff scanned in.
So you scanned in all the...
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's very demanding.
Yeah.
But when you nail it, though, it looks great. And I mean, C41's great, but I mean, it's hard to beat a piece of chrome. I don't know.
Yeah, if you nail it and you've got the time, I mean, more power to you.
Yeah, but you shoot in some venues where you have mixed lighting, and it's such a trip when you shoot stuff in chrome like that, and everything looks good, and all the lighting in the eaves of a church, it's green.
Yeah, exactly. I don't miss shooting with filters and having to gel my flashes, I'll tell you that, as far as what I had to do with chrome, so I'm glad those days are behind me.
With you shooting pretty much everything medium format, have you had the urge to shoot some of maybe your formals on a 4x5 or bigger?
It's funny. A friend of mine who is in my building, Stephen DeVries, he's a wedding photographer as well. He lugs his 4x5 to weddings, and I'm actually a little bit jealous right now. Another guy named Kerry Norton of TheOrdinary.org, he shoots tons of 4x5, and so I feel a little left out right now. I'm debating it. I'm debating stealing one of their cameras one week and trying it out. I think it would be especially cool for family formals, especially since that's a time that most photographers suck at doing and just hate. I think it would be a really interesting thing to add to get family formals on large format. I've been thinking about it a little bit, so we'll see if I'll lug one out at some point.
So, Brian, tell me about your bridal portraits. Do you do a session prior? Because old school people would do with the bridal portraits, you would get all dressed up and you would do in studio stuff. And I noticed this a lot when I went to Imaging USA this year in Phoenix. The formal bridal portraits that were entered in the competition were all Asian women. And I think the Asian women still really want that really special high-end studio look bridal portrait. And some people do the stuff there. So I was wondering, do you do that type of work? Do you typically find that your clients want to do that, or do you do everything on the day and just go?
Well, as far as studio stuff, I have a studio and shoot here. I shoot a lot of natural light. I prefer to not shoot in studio. I don't call myself or think of myself as a studio shooter. I'm not very good at shooting studio stuff. But even as far as portrait-wise, I tend to try and talk my brides into just doing the wedding day. It's a bit of a Southern thing. A lot of people still approach me and say, I want a bridal portrait and I want a picture big for when people enter the reception. I think that's going out a little bit, but probably 95% of my brides I'm photographing for the first time in a dress on the wedding day. And we spend probably 20 minutes on her portrait.
Of just her?
Of just her. That's correct.
Very interesting. So what would you categorize Brian as when it comes to your wedding photography? Would you say that you're PJ? Would you say that you're traditional? When you talk to your client, how do you explain what kind of photography you provide?
It's funny because being a wedding photographer, you are at some moments a editorial shooter. At some moments you're a fashion shooter. At some moments you're a photojournalist. At some moments you're a product shooter. So it's actually interesting because you actually get to practice all the different types of photography on a wedding day. But it's interesting. I'm definitely not a photojournalist. I really like to be in control and not in an overpowering way. I really like to be able to shoot portrait. At some parts of the day are photojournalistic and I'm not really talking to the client. Sometimes or standing on a chair yelling at all the family and telling them, let's hurry up and do this so we can all go party. So at different times you have to be assertive. At different times you have to put your camera down and not shoot at all. At different times you're shooting and not interrupting a moment. So for me, I have a really hard time categorizing what it exactly it is I do. because there's definitely different aspects of different parts of the day that come out at different times. But I love the portrait time. I love the chance to just hang out and make people feel comfortable and have a good time with it. It's interesting, too. This is a little side note. One thing that's fun for me about the portrait session is walking in with an old medium format camera. Because for whatever reason, I find that it really sets people at ease, and they like the fact that you're not shooting 100 frames every minute with a roll. You've got to be shooting 12 frames before I reload. So I think people would maybe be a little bit bored on our wedding days because there's not as much shooting as people think there is. So that's kind of a roundabout answer to say that I don't know what kind of photographer I am.
So let's talk about capture. Let's talk about how much you go through, because if you're shooting a roll, you're not going to burn through 1,200 images, 1,500 images. I mean, these people that are shooting digital are burning through a lot of memory cards.
This last wedding, I shot one 8-gig card of digital, so I'm not shooting a whole lot of digital. This past wedding, I probably shot 25 rolls of film. So I don't know if that sounds like a lot or a little. It seems like not a whole lot. But it's fun, too. Like, we have a pretty intense album pre-design process that we have, where we pre-design an album for every client. And since we started doing pre-design, it's really been fun to see how that starts to mesh with my film philosophy, because I realize that it doesn't take as many great images for an album as one would think. I, in a sense, realize if I have 25 spreads, I really need 25 great images to carry those spreads. So it makes me realize, not that I'm just sitting on my hands twiddling my thumbs during a wedding day, but it also makes you realize you can calm down a little bit and really think about what you're doing, and you don't have to feel so rushed. I typically probably shoot around 25 to 30 rolls per wedding.
What are you using digital capture for within the wedding? Is this for just really low light? I need higher ISO?
I went to a Dennis Reggie workshop and really learned how to use my flash really well. He has a whole thing that most people may have heard of, foofing, where you foof a light on a wall. It just has to do with kind of creating another dimension with your flash and how to really balance your flash. So I really like it for receptions and for maybe sometime during prep for the bride at the beginning, getting some really nice, well-lit, clean portraits. And I love contrasting those up against some really grainy 3200 black and white. It's just kind of a look that I've really kind of gravitated toward. The main thing I'm using it for is some during prep, a little during ceremony, and then mainly party shots during the reception is what I'm using that digital for.
What does Brian look forward to here moving forward with your photography? I mean, you guys are doing lots of wedding stuff. Is there anything that you want to go shoot that you haven't got to do? I mean, yes, you want to shoot 1,000 weddings and make tons of money, and it's all great. But I mean, at a certain point, what do you want to do personally as maybe a photographic project, something you haven't done, something you want to try? It seems to me you got a little bit of large format starting to bleed in here. But what do you want to do here?
It's interesting. I've recently wanted to shoot more editorial. The magazine I was telling you about that I worked for right out of college, I recently contacted and mainly said, hire me if you have anything that's any feature that you want, just great portraits from, or anything that's really lifestyle or fashion driven. So I don't know. I see myself maybe getting back into that world a little bit, because I've kind of pulled myself out of the editorial world a little bit. And now that I kind of have my film process down, something I really, really like, I don't know, I'm just really digging shooting people. So maybe some more editorial projects, potentially a little ad work, but that doesn't appeal to me as much as maybe some editorial work.
And is there anything you want to go shoot personal project-wise? Do you have a passion for shooting fire hydrants? I mean, what do you like to do when you're not taking pictures of beautiful southern brides and all this other stuff you're up to?
I would love to continue to travel and shoot stories. About a year ago, I was able to go to South Africa with a rock band because they do a lot of work there. And we actually were able to put a whole book together that they are selling to their fans. And that was really kind of a dream project for me, because all my expenses were covered so I could shoot all the film I want. It was kind of like a wedding day. It was a lot of photojournalism, and then part of it was portraits. Anything where I'm traveling and meeting new people and documenting great stories is of great interest to me. But I also am married with two small children, so travel at this point is a little harder than I'd like it to be.
So what would you say, Brian, as one of your tips would be to someone that wants to get more involved with analog? Of course, with you doing wedding and portrait, and we do talk to a lot of people here that are doing wedding and portrait, and that's a lot of people that are shooting and going back to analog capture now. What would you use as a nice tip for someone wanting to get more involved to increase their use and just learn more about analog photography? Is it just go out and shoot? What's your opinion here?
Well, I would first call Richard Photolab and just set up a quick account. It's really not that hard. I would really encourage people to just take two rolls to your next wedding. Go buy a Holga and pay, $30 to buy a Holga and shoot two Holga rolls at a wedding of black and white and just really kind of shoot it for yourself. I think once you start to shoot for yourself at a wedding day, you really start to connect with what you're shooting and you really love to look at your own images, there's really going to be a shift. For me, I'm playing around and really having a good time with it. So I think most people think, I can't be a film photographer because I've got to drop everything and invest all this money into different cameras. Just try two rolls at your next wedding. Most people have an old camera that they used to shoot with in their family. Just find it, buy a roll of film, and shoot with it, and see if you connect with it. If you find yourself connecting with that medium, continue to shoot with it, because if you're not shooting for yourself on a wedding day and you're not really excited about what you're getting, if you can't wait to show it to your friends, like what you've gotten, then you're going to burn out so fast in this industry, especially if you're shooting a lot of weddings. So yeah, just shoot a few rolls, and if you like it, try a few more the next time.
So Brian, with doing as many weddings as you guys shoot and dealing with all these different scenarios that are basically still all the same unless you have something really exotic, how do you keep fresh with your wedding photography? How do you guys keep from getting burned out on what you're doing? Or like you said, a wedding, it's a different bride and groom and people, but basically it's the same thing every week. So how do you keep on top of this type of shooting and keep yourself fresh and always looking for a new angle, a new way, a new look?
Yeah, first and foremost, you've got to be engaged with the story that's in front of you. If you're not engaged with the story of the actual couple, it needs to be more than just shooting cool cameras. So even though we shoot a lot of weddings out of state, it's really important for us to have a sit-down meal and share a drink with our clients and hang out with them to understand all that underlies what you're shooting. That, for us, helps us continue to connect with each wedding because we actually are invested in the couple and we're excited about what's going on. But even within that, like I said, try some new things. Like we, at one point, started playing around with Polaroids and started shooting Polaroids at weddings. And now we put together a whole book of Polaroids for the couple at the end of the day. It's still one of my favorite things to be able to present to the bride and groom at the end of the day. Here's a mini folio album that Cypress makes. We put four Polaroids in there, and in a sense, their first mini, one-of-a-kind, completely original album. And it's just fun for us that our first step of bit of presentation is for them on the wedding day. But that's just something that we have found that keeps us engaged and keeps us excited about continuing to shoot. So I think finding small things like that that keep you in tune are pretty vital for not getting burnout and staying excited about what you're shooting.
So tell me about your Polaroid work. Are you shooting with an old 600? What are you shooting with that you're giving these Polaroids to?
I have a Polaroid Backma RZ.
Oh, beautiful. So you're shooting back film then?
Yes.
Polaroid, okay. Not a 600 format.
No. Like I told you about my friends who are shooting large format. I'm hopefully going to move to some large format at some point and give that a try. But as of right now, that's one reason why I shoot with that huge clunky RZ is we get these awesome Polaroids. It's really cool, too, because, like I said, we give four away to our client, and then we're also, at the end of the night, I'm able to find each parent and give the parents Polaroids from their kid's wedding just as something that's instant and something that's completely original. To me, the fun thing about Polaroid is, especially if you're not scanning it, it's rare to find everything once. Everybody wants things to be copied and duplicable nowadays, that it's really an interesting approach to be able to give somebody something that's original. It's like, if this gets burned up, it's gone. So it's fun to have a keepsake like that that's not duplicable. That's what I really love about Polaroids. It's sometimes a little nerve-wracking because some of my favorite photos I've ever taken, I never get to see after the night of the wedding because they're only for the bride and groom, but it's kind of fun to have it that way.
Yeah, too bad they don't have 665 anymore because you could give them the picture and take the neg with you, bud.
That would be nice. That would be really nice.
And you're currently shooting with old Polaroid stock, or are you shooting with Fuji pack film?
I say Polaroid. I'm shooting with Fuji.
And you like the 100 color, the 100 black and white, or the 3000 black and white?
I actually take all three on a wedding day.
Really?
And kind of decide what I'm shooting with. I've got two Polaroid backs in my Mamiya case that I just kind of decide what I want to shoot with.
Isn't that 3000 cool? That stuff is contrasty, and boy, it's harder to nail the chrome.
I love shooting it for prep and the first dance as well, so it's just an awesome approach.
This is very cool. Now, you guys trim the Polaroids down to fit into this little Cypress folio piece?
Yes, we trim it down, and it's this little mini folio that's matted and has their cool fabric on it. It's like a quad fold that folds down into one little piece, and it's so cool.
Wow, that's great to see, because like you said, I mean, this is an original piece, and I can see that really making people happy. I mean, you know, a lot of people that shoot digital on weddings, it's like, okay, well, I'll email you some photos. At the end of the night, you can hand them a little album. It's all high-end, and it's like, wow, look at, there's my wedding picture right there.
It's really funny. I had a bride one time. The groom had booked their honeymoon tickets under her new last name. And so her license still had her old last name. So they get to the airport the next morning, and they said, you can't go. They're going to, I think, Mexico or something. And they said, you can't go because you've booked this under the wrong name. They're trying to convince them that they got married the night before, and she realized she had the Polaroid book. She pulled it out and said, look, I promise, here's proof. I got married last night. Here's pictures from my wedding, and they let her on the plane. So it was really kind of fun to see. And I hear from bride and grooms often that they set that up on their nightstand during their honeymoon. Brides especially say that they're looking through it at least 10 times a day on their honeymoon. It's a nice kind of instant, quick reminder that what they did was real and actually happened.
Yeah, because everything happens so quick in a day like that. I mean, it could have just been some kind of really bad dream or whatever. Who knows?
Exactly.
And you forget about it, and the next day it's like, did that really happen? I don't even know. Everything's in a day. Some brides can really get freaked out and lose
exactly.
track of reality.
Since we shoot film, it keeps them a little bit calm from seeing all the rest of the images. It buys us a little more time, because obviously with film, our workflow isn't as quick as we'd like it to be, but we normally get stuff back to people in about a month, so that kind of keeps them at bay for a little while.
So really popular right now, Brian, is this whole thing with digital photographers and shoot and burn. Will you shoot a film gig and give them just the high-res scans, or do you have complete packages all-inclusive with albums and everything? Or how do you guys work your packages to where, let's say somebody wants you to shoot them, they really want your photography, but they don't have the dough to do the other stuff. How do you work that out?
It's interesting. The short answer is no. We want every client to have the same experience. Our process is pretty extensive. We got a full-time in-house color corrector and a full-time in-house designer. With each package comes an album, and we pre-design that album for each client. So for us, we feel like the day of the album is moving away from us. It's really important to us that every client get an album. And so in order to do that, we don't offer any packages that don't have albums. And we also create the pre-design process so that it makes it really, really easy for people to order it. It's a few quick changes, and normally we can get people their album relatively simply and quickly. Like I said, we want everyone to have the experience. There's not one wedding that comes out of our studios where we're sending them just our RAW files or untouched JPEGs or just scans untouched. Everything has to be storyboarded and edited down to our liking and with our branding through our images, as we like to say.
So you know when you're going to go into the wedding, because you do an album pre-design, you know I need these 20 shots or 25 or whichever.
Yeah, it's fun to be able to shoot with the album in mind, and that's knowing that everyone's going to have an album. Like I said before, it's really interesting to be able to slow down and realize I don't need 1,000 shots from a wedding day. We only have 90 images in an album. Now, it's going to take a lot of shooting to make sure that you have the 90 that you love, but it takes a lot less than people think. When you shoot with an album in mind, it really allows me to calm down. I used to only shoot film during natural light formal settings. That really encouraged me to start picking up that high speed and have some great images that are going to carry spreads. So yeah, shooting for the album really kind of shifts the whole mentality of how I'm shooting and approaching a day.
And you're pretty much shooting all natural light except when you're doing digital, then you can use your Dennis approach to the lighting. But otherwise, when you're shooting your analog capture, it's all natural light?
That's correct, for the most part, yeah. I don't know if you know what the T4 is. I don't know if it counts as shooting with a flash, but the T4, we call it mom camera, because it's the camera that Terry Richardson uses, who shoots for GQ, and he does these really kind of kitschy shoots. It's kind of this on-camera flash look. We shoot a couple rolls of that at the reception, just because it has this real kind of point-and-click type look to it that is really kitschy and fun. So that's the only film that we're shooting with a flash.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
So tell me about where people can find out, Brian, about your website, look at your images, your blog. If you have any more seminars, classes, workshops coming up, tell me what you're up to.
We have a pretty busy summer. Like I said, we just had our first workshop this past spring, which went really, really well, and we got some great response from the people that took it. As of right now, we're hoping to maybe have one in the fall that we may announce later in July. Yeah, if people are interested, we would love to have some people come to that. And our workshop's a little bit different, because we kind of break up in four different groups. If we have 12 people, we split up into four groups of three, and you sit down with a different team member and then just rotate. It's really fun, and so we're hoping to do that again.
Very, very cool. And all this is available at your website address?
Yes, www.abrianphoto.com. Yeah, you can check it all there, and our blog is there as well.
Yeah, this is great stuff. So tell me one last thing here, Brian. If you have one camera that you could only have, what would you take? What would be your camera of choice if you had only one left? If you had a pocket full of 120, what would you take with you?
Yeah, a lot of it depends on the time of year. As of right now, it'd have to be the Rolly. I just love the Rolly. Mainly, and if the Rollies didn't exist, it'd probably be Lomo. but I love shooting with the Rolly. It's such a simple camera. It's like one of the most simple medium format cameras because it's really small. There's no interchangeable lenses or backs, and the glass, especially when you're shooting that 2.8 Carl Zeiss lens, it's just so clean and so romantic.
And you're using the look-down waist viewfinder.
Waist level, yep. Yeah. But if I'm traveling somewhere and I'm going to Europe and I don't want much, I'm definitely taking my Lomo with me.
And which Lomo? You have an original true Lomo, a newer aftermarket Lomo? Which one?
It's the newer one. It's the LCA Plus. I like it. Can't even adjust the aperture. You can only adjust your distance. So I love the motto behind Lomo, don't think, just shoot. If you're a photographer and you're feeling in a rut, go buy a Lomo because you will feel so free and have such a great time shooting it. To stop thinking a little bit and just kind of trust your instincts, you can't even tell if it's in focus and you have to guess on your focus. If you're looking for something as a pick-me-up and to get a little of that heartbeat back, go buy a Lomo.
No, that's great, and I really appreciate your time today, Brian. Great insight on what you guys are doing. Very cool to see what you're up to and making these beautiful images with these Southern weddings and all the stuff that you guys are doing and shooting analog, and really cool to see what the insight of what you're up to, and I do appreciate you spending time with us today and great stuff you're doing, buddy.
Thanks so much, Scott. We love the show and are very honored to be on it, and we really, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
There you go, Brian Johnson. Great stuff going on with Brian. Beautiful photography. Great stuff going on there with analog capture. Beautiful Southern weddings, portraits, a lot of great stuff Brian's up to. You really got to check out his website. Beautiful work. And, of course, the Insight Analog Photography Radio Program has been brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. Black and white, C41 color neg, chrome, Instax, PacFilm, you name it. They got everything cooking. Check them out, www.FujifilmUSA.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab over at RichardPhotoLab.com, DR5 for black and white chrome at DR5.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios, the place for high-resolution scans using their Aztec Premier with a 3-micron engine with resolution to 8,000 ppi. Definitely check them out over at www.IgerStudios. That's EigerStudios.com. Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. And our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group, the place on the web for all things traditional photographic process, black and white, color, wet plate, you name it, it's all going on over at apug.org, the Analog Photography User Group. Definitely want to check them out. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photo, and we'll be back next week with more great analog photography.